Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. Start converting your B2B audience today. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started today at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour Coach Podcast, where we bring you the best mental coaches, fitness experts, teachers, players, everything from my journey in the game of golf to help you learn to play better golf, teach better golf, and enjoy the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun. All right. Joining me here on the Tour Coach from my luxurious hotel room at the Hilton Garden Inn in Manassas, Virginia. Actually, it's a very nice hotel. I've struggled to find good food in this town, but that's for a topic for another day. And is joining me two of my very good friends, Rick Silva, one of the great teachers in the game of golf from up in Chicago. I'm going to spend a little time with him this summer as the Live and the Corn Ferry heads up there. And Matthew Rudy, who obviously is a huge help to me. And also, he compared being on this podcast like multiple times in a couple weeks, kind of like achieving maybe Diamond or Delta One status. I'm going to push it a step further with Delta Airlines. So, Matt, Rick, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thank you. It clearly means I get a seat with more leg room when I talk to you.
So that's because you're at your house.
So, Rick, when you're talking about Delta status, you're talking about like Blackburn status?
Yeah. Oh, man, nobody gets his status.
No. I love it.
Look, Rick, first of all, congratulations. I've gone through the process before with Matt, and it's a cool deal, but you've come out with a new book, just came out this week. I'm looking to read so I don't screw up the title, but The Golfer's Tools, A Practical Guide to Swing Science. It's your go-to to help navigate the complex world of the golf swing and golf science. I'm excited about this. I'm excited myself to read it because, as we talked off the air, for lack of a better word, there's more shit out there than ever before. Is that that's Alabama talk for complicated. There's more shit out there. There's so much stuff. I find more than ever when people come and take a lesson from me, a first golf lesson. And one of my things is talking like, well, hey, who have you worked with or what do you do? This, that, and the other. They talk about getting lost in rabbit holes with all the information out there. And to me, I haven't read it yet. I'll be upfront, but I'm looking forward to it. This is going to help those people.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, and that was part of, you know, I got my butt kicked from Chicago to, you know, Connecticut, more or less, you know, from Rudy trying to get me to pin me down on like, who's my audience. And I was,
he's good at that, by the way.
He is.
You mean the butt kicking part or the pinning you down about who the
I've had my ass kicked and I've been pinned down.
You know, and it was a bit of a challenge, and I hope that we challenge each other, but he definitely challenged me on this. It's like, who's your audience? And you know, I wanted it to be very much, you know, mentoring is such an important part of where I am in my career and my life. Things of that nature, you know, so I wanted this to be, you know, the voice in the directed toward like, you know, hey, if you're an experienced golf coach and you know, or you think you know a lot about, you know, golf science, cool. then hopefully I can provide something for you. If you're in the middle, I can definitely provide something for you. If you're a coach out there who's been teaching a lot of lessons and trying to, you know, break through things of that nature, and you might be a little insecure that you don't know as much as you think you might know, this is 100% for you. But I also didn't want to alienate the impassioned everyday golfer, or heck, man, the tour player who's really interested in, you know, how is the cake made, you know, before it goes in the oven kind of thing. And straddling those lines was very difficult. But, you know, Matt really helped me, you know, push through that and come up with something that I think accomplished that. And that was not an easy task.
And Matt, before you say, I think now the lines between the tour player getting lost on this phone and the recreational golfer,
ooh,
they're not
baby.
That different. They're not that blurred. And
I mean,
you know, I'm fortunate.
I think we're in
great.
We might be in the coolest era ever for golf instruction, just because of the power of the devices in our pockets and the amount of information that's available and the democracy of that information. It used to be that you needed to luck out and be an assistant of some legendary pro and kind of learn, you know, with boots on the ground. And obviously there's still a lot of value to having the right mentors, as Rick said. But the reality now is, if you have the right feelers out there for finding information and you have the right filters in place and you have the right attitude about finding things, it's all out there for you to find. But there's so much of it and there's so much nuance to it, and the science is emerging and the technology is emerging. So what this really does, and I think what makes this a really cool book, is it serves very similarly in function to going and getting a lesson from a top teacher, which is curating all of the fire hose of information into the streams that mean something to you at a particular time. And I think what makes Rick's book stand out is it is the science for sure, but it's also a group of case studies where he takes you inside lessons that he gives different players with different issues and lets you see those lessons from the perspective of the player and from the perspective of the coach. So whether you're a coach or a player, seeing how this technology integrates with what you're doing in a lesson, I think demystifies some of it, and it lets you kind of digest it at the pace that you're ready to go. I mean, there's plenty of super technical information out there to go get, and there's also plenty of Band-Aid tips out there to get. I mean, and I'm not throwing any shade on either one of those things.
Yeah.
There's a place for all of that. But I think what Rick is doing is he's showing people literally how he uses high-end golf technology, golf science in day-to-day, hour-to-hour golf lessons with elite players and, you know, 22 handicap guys in their 50s. And and I think that's the utility that people need. It's like, you know, in some ways it's like showing your, you know, my dad is in his late 70s, and if he got a new iPhone right now, I'm not sure he would know how to turn it on. So
got
somebody at that end of the spectrum.
Can I help him? Yeah. Can I get him to help me turn it?
Yeah, those folks don't know how to turn the device on. And then you have people who have access to every bit of technology. And, you know, a junior player, for example, that's got his or her own TrackMan. There's no shortage of data or information for that player, but they might not know how to prioritize what they see and figure out what the prescription is for them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I get more and more young players, from junior players to young professionals, where part of what you're doing is educating them on what their numbers should be, or what their force plate stuff, or what their 3D stuff, because now there's so much 3D you can do on a phone or whatever. Like, educating them, part of being a teacher now is educating them on what their good is, like what to look for, because they get lost. I mean, you know.
How can you not?
Yeah, anybody. I mean, hell, I'm lost half the time. One of the biggest things I've learned with technology and with all the science and stuff is I've learned to not teach anything I don't understand, and to start with each of those things, whether it's 3D, like I'm experimenting with 3D. It's a little beyond what I would normally do, but like, I know it's important, so I've invested in it. But like, starting with the things I understand, which is what, however many years ago, I remember one of the first times I talked to Matt, like, that's what I did with force plates. I just started with the basic thing. Even back then, it was just set up, like knowing how if a person was balanced, but like not teaching things or getting into things I didn't understand. And, you know, it's the same for the teacher as it is for the student, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It definitely can be, for sure.
I mean, I feel like I beat this drum every time I come on this podcast. Randy Smith is one of my favorite people. And seeing
him, we need to get you and Randy on together.
But seeing him teach a lesson and seeing him use TrackMan in a lesson was a fascinating thing for me. And the way he put it was the first time I'd ever heard somebody put it that way. And it's a parable that makes sense talking about this book. Randy has all the technology and his goal is to understand the technology because that's the language the junior players he teaches speak. So if you can't have a conversation with a player about what TrackMan numbers are, even if whatever you feel about it or don't feel about it, you have to be conversant.
Right.
And I think what Rick is doing is trying to help people be conversant in more languages.
Rick, I love the idea that Matt alluded to, Mega, like a parable. I love case studies. This is more for me. Like, that's how I learn. I learn better by watching. Like, I would learn better. We always joke about these teaching summits that we have to go to or we go to. And right. Yeah. I don't learn very well listening to somebody speak. I learn way better if I go watch you teach a real person in front of you. And,
for sure.
And I just
say, where you can touch it and you can smell it and you can taste it. Metaphorically speaking, right? It.
Okay. But yeah.
maybe not smell it, right?
But it is in Chicago. I mean, who knows? But anyways, like, I love that. So take us through, if you don't mind, I don't want you to give the whole book away, but take us through a little bit of what people are going to find, you know, that might help a recreational player, like a case study, something like that.
Yeah, you know, to your point of teaching seminars and summits, right? You know, you've got whomever the powers that be, you know, deem this person worthy of speaking. And, you know, they might throw out some terms. And the immediate pushback that I've heard for years and years is like, well, you don't speak to your students in those terms, right? And and I'm like, well, but I do, because the clarification actually makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll be somewhat broad here. It's like, well, alpha force, beta force, gamma force. Okay. Yeah. But if we're in the mix of something, and I don't need them to know this, like, you know, in a graduate degree context, I just need them to understand, like, if I happen to slip and say alpha force versus, you know, more vertical on the club handle, I need them to have like a vague understanding of what's going on. And there's also a bit of a buy-in there, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be complex. I think ego kind of sometimes makes it complex, in my opinion. So the goal of what I was attempting to do here, and I hopefully satisfied that, was, okay, you know, here are these complex, hard things that are actual and factual. It's just math. It's, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, you know, F equals MA kind of thing. And okay, well, here's the language I speak. Here's how I diagnose somebody that they would need, you know, more lift on the handle early in the backswing. And I'm putting it into the classifications of the topic, right? So that's so that my peer, my fellow teachers out there, regardless of their skill set, can kind of go, oh, okay, that makes sense. I'm not so intimidated by that. That there's a lot of practical, you know, application to that, as well as, you know, the everyday and passionate golfer to the tour player going like, okay, maybe that's me. Maybe I need a little bit more in, you know, in the context of what we're talking about, a little more lift up on the handle kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that one place that this book lives that is in a similar neighborhood to the stuff that we've done, Tony, that I like the most, it's reinforcing for people over and over again, the whether it's a coach or someone, you know, student who's consuming things, for example, if you're consuming 30-second tips on TikTok or on Instagram, there's certainly a risk that you can get trapped in kind of a swing position or an output, an output-based instruction experience. Like, oh, look where Dustin Johnson has the club at the top of the backswing, and that's a position you should get into. Or, you know, and if you're teaching people outcomes and outputs, and you know, it misses the whole input part where things are happening. What you're seeing is the result of all this stuff that happened before. And I think giving people a better understanding about swing science, about forces and torques, and about, where things come from, and is helping them solve problems much earlier in the transaction, so to speak. And, you know, my friend Mike Jacobs described it really well. He says, think about opening a door. You know, if you have to walk over and turn a doorknob to open a door, you could describe to somebody how to do that. And you could take a picture of where they were, like where their hand was on the knob and when it turned. Mm-hmm. You could even take pictures of what the door looked like opening and closing. But just think about what would happen if the door's locked, right? You walk up and you put a tremendous amount of effort to turn the doorknob to open it. It doesn't turn. You put a lot of effort into it. It doesn't produce what you're after. So the amount you do it, when you do it, you know, all these different kinds of things go into teaching people how to move the golf club around. And that entire force component and that input component sometimes gets lost or simplified or kind of smudged a bit as the tip moves from place to place across the internet. And everybody would love, obviously, a Band-Aid. Please just tell me how to change my grip. There's a place for that, and I get it.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
But I think what Rick does in these case studies is he says, you know, once we figured out what the input needed to be, it tends to unsnarl a lot of the other issues or the roadblocks
very much
that people get. So if you can do this one step and learn about the input, you can solve a lot of your own swing issues without even addressing necessarily all the 12 other things that are happening down the chain, just because you've been trying to, lay it flat on the top of the backswing or jump out of your shoes down at impact, because the picture you saw looks like Justin Thomas is jumping when the club gets down to the ball. The reality is that's the explosion that happened from all the stuff that you lit on fire way back a long time ago.
And I mean, we talked about this actually, Matt, on the last podcast you did, which elevated you to diamond status. But
we talked about it in Lessons from the Legends, how inputs are much more important than outputs.
Correct. And the fact that we're trying, and I know, and what I like about this, Rick, love about it, is like, and I'm not great at it all the time, but like, we're trying to fix the cause, not the effect.
Right. So to that point, if I can, if that's okay, to that point.
It's your podcast. You can say whatever you want.
Heck, man. Like, we look at things of like, you know, through the lens of, is this internal or is it external? And what you mean by that, if you can humor me, and it's like, if you're, let's say you're inside a ball, right? And everything about you is inside that ball. So the clothes you're wearing, the shoes you're wearing, the golf club you're swinging, okay, because mass being constant, right? So how you move internally is a specific thing. So let's say that that ball was going to move side, forward, back, or up or down. It would, because it's the cumulative sum of you. You would have to have some influence from outside the ball, right? So that being external. So, okay, that's going to come from the ground. You know, it's there. You know, we're interacting with it. So how much is necessary, to what magnitude, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're starting to look at like force plates, ground reaction forces, things of that nature, this, I think some things get a little lost here, and they are incredibly valuable tools. I have them, but they're incredibly valuable tools. The thing that's furthest away from you, just think about it like a big torque wrench, okay? You could be doing all of this work externally in the ground, trying to get vertical, trying to move side to side, trying to create some spin. But if the torque wrench is out of alignment, it's going to cancel out or mute all of the work you're doing on the ground. Okay, so when you get into like causes, what's actually like actions or causes, and what's propulsion or reaction, that can get very confusing for folks. Very confusing, because listen, like, okay, I weigh 184 pounds this morning. Okay, so gravity's trying to pull me down, and it's pulling me down to try to in this rubble. Well, propulsion is pushing me back up. But here's the challenging part. We've never lived without it. So we don't know what it's like to not have it, right? We can't see gravity pulling you down into a pile of rubble. We just see the reaction. We see the propulsion. So when we go to emulate, because we're human beings, right? Like, we're very observant people. When we go to emulate the thing that we see in our favorite player, or, you know, a buddy, or whatever the case may be, we're screwing the pooch, quite frankly, because we're not actually dealing with the action. We're dealing with the propulsion, and we're trying to recreate it. We're not dealing with the ingredients that made up the soup.
You're trying to recreate the effect rather than.
Yes. And you are hosed as a golfer. If you're trying to recreate the effect, you are toast.
Right.
Well, also, I think you're, instincts work against you too, because I think your perception is what you do with the handle. So people want to make the grip move faster, but the best players are making the grip move slower to make the make the club head go faster. So you might try to swing your hands as fast as anyone in the world, and the reality is, if you could only ever swing your hands 30 miles an hour, which would be tremendously fast, if you actually held out a ball and hit the ball with your hand's going 30 miles an hour. Essentially, that's the club head speed you can generate. But what good players are doing is multiplying the club head speed by making the grip end slow down and slinging the club head in faster. Mm-hmm. And that runs counter to many people's instinct about what they try to do in their swing. And what the, you know, things like putting an airplane, for example, on the shaft of the club just gets your brain to think about inclining the tool in a way that doesn't require it to take such a complicated route from the top of the backswing down to the ball. And
absolutely.
That's the airplane on the shaft is the swing science. Mm-hmm. What Rick is trying to do is give coaches and players language to talk about what makes that better or worse, and what knobs you need to turn for it to work in your own individual prescription. Because the art of this, and Tony, you know this better than anybody, The art is standing behind a tour player. You know, you could teach two different live guys tomorrow, and the physics of what they need to do, the laws of physics apply to them equally.
Right.
But the prescription, based on how they move the club, what their bodies can do, what their bodies can't do, the way they hear mm-hmm. what you're saying, all those things are a cake recipe that needs to be different.
No, 100% agree. I'm thinking of the 15 handicap here, Rick.
Yep.
Let's pull something out of your book and give them a lesson. Give them something that you see a lot of common golfers do, a lot of recreational 15 at 10 to 20 handicap. Because I've gotten so many folks that have messaged in or whatever, and they're like, man, I love that you're talking about this. Because there's these guys. I know one guy in particular that always messages. But, like, he's a 10, 11 handicap that loves this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, pull something out of your book that would help, that might help a bunch of 10 or 15 handicap. Yeah.
I like sure. The case, Rick, with your friend who was injured, the one who couldn't, he wasn't sure if he's going to be able to keep playing golf, and he
that's a big one. And he's a very dear friend, you know, like, and he's had some very debilitating health things, and to the point where now he plays, I mean, pain free. His golf is more his continual rehab than his actual physical rehab, just to get him to move better through joints and things of that nature. So one of the things I would say that stands out a lot, and it applies to CB, but it applies to the 15 handicap, all, you know, both north and south of that, would be, so in the chapter, so we named the chapters a specific topic, right? And then we talked about it and then gave a case study. Well, I'm giving away a little bit here, but they all layer on top of each other, right? They do. So you have to be very specific, and that's part of this. But it would be in kinetic energy, right? Like, so how does somebody transfer energy? At what point? How do they do it? Well, I would say that the 15 handicap in which you're speaking to, here's what we know. So from, like, address to club parallel going back, the point where, like, the club is the furthest it'll ever be from you, you know, and there is different opinions to this. I'm just telling you what we know, what our research shows, etc. And I'm so blessed to even be involved with Mike Jacobs and Dr. Stephen Nesbitt that I have this stuff available to me. I mean, I don't want to sound sappy, but I am incredibly blessed to be a part of this, right? It has changed my life. It has changed my career. It has changed how I convey information. So I would say this, here's what we know, that going back to the ball analogy, if you're inside that ball, that most of it is done inside the ball, meaning there's a little bit of external or ground moving you a little, if you're a right-handed golfer, to the right, but it's rotating. We know that. It's more angular than it is linear. And the amount of energy that gets to the club head is very nominal. You know, contrary to, I think, even when I grew up, I had somebody who put a ball on the ground and told me to, like, push the ball back as I was making a backswing, which would make it incredibly linear. Right? Because it's a straight line, right? And so I would say that the everyday impassioned golfer, and this isn't just subject to them, it's just the question you asked, if they understood just how little energy goes into the early backswing, and that it actually needs to spin a little bit more than it does go side to side, I think their games would get better like that.
They'd be priming the engine with more energy.
Without a doubt.
Interesting.
Most people, your engine is what it is. Scotty Scheffler's engine is different than mine, which is different than Kyle Berkshire's, which is different. You know, your engine is what it is, but most players don't fully engage the engine they have.
I agree 1,000% with that.
Without a doubt. They're trying to go to the right. They're trying to lock out their left arm, get as wide as they can as possible. In that very moment, right off the ball, they're putting too much energy into the club head, and from a percentage of the hole, it's going to get drowned out. They can't get it back.
I think one of my other favorite metaphors that appears in there is I don't think people realize that when you swing a driver at impact, the effective weight of the driver is 100 pounds.
Yes.
If you're swinging something that weighs 100 pounds, the way your body would be situated to support that weight or to do something to it, most people try to do a whole bunch of stuff to the club down near impact when it weighs 100 pounds, instead of doing things to it at a different time in the swing when it's virtually weightless.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to Rick was, how do we explain to people better ways to do things to the club when it's much easier to do them and the movement you need incrementally is much smaller than, you know, to get people out of this pattern of trying to do all these things at the end, just like you're trying to cram for your test the day before the midterm when you were in college. There are better ways to do it. And I think what most people, and I think Rick can, he can shoot this down if he disagrees, but I would suspect that the ailment that most people suffer from in golf is they're too late. The things they do, the inputs that they're trying to put into the club,
agree,
almost universally too late.
Yeah, I'm not shooting that down. I would add to it though, the stuff that they're doing in the load process or in the backswing has their body so out of position that they can't but not do it too late.
Right.
Because their body is so out of position. Right. And I've had a reasonable amount of success with this. With, you know, you take somebody somewhere between, and it depends on the person. Everybody's different. Okay. But somewhere between left arm parallel as a right-handed golfer and shaft parallel, and just posing the question to them like, hey, what would be the most advantageous place for your body to be in to assist the golf club to get to the golf ball? And it's amazing how they start to move differently in the backswing, right, to facilitate the answer to that question.
And yeah, their intention totally changes.
Absolutely.
That's something Rick says in the book all the time, which is just simply changing someone's intention about what they're trying to do. They can't, mm-hmm, people. And actually I think this is a good way to think about the book, because people can be intimidated by the subject, but just simply changing your intention and having a sense for what you're trying to do and having it be the right thing is a huge deal. And I think what this book does is it creates much more straightforward intentions. So, you know, if this, you know, within this sub, you know, within this area, within this subject, this is what your intention should probably be instead of this other thing that you might have been trying to, mm-hmm, do.
And I think one of the things that happens to the golfers we're talking about is they don't even have any intent.
No,
they're out there hitting at the golf ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to me, they're always trying to fix the last shot.
Yes.
Right. What just happened? Not understanding what caused what happened. They're trying, mm-hmm, to fix that result. And to your point, they're trying to fix it too late. Right.
Or they're changing seven things. Let's, yeah, change all the variables and figure out which one.
Yeah. And then they don't know. And to me, one of the most frustrating things for regular golfers is then when they hit a good one, they don't even know what the hell they did that hit the good one.
Like, yeah, and it might have been just fluke that they actually,
right,
caught
and
the
it
face,
felt,
right,
exactly the same as the one they hit 162 yards out of bounds.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it felt the same. Everybody's like, great shot, but they're like in their head, they're like, shit, it felt the same as the one I just, mm-hmm, hit, that, right? So, you know, to me, that's the beauty of this. If you can help, I love the idea of intent. If somebody can go practice or work on their game and they have an intent and they know what they're working on. And to me, one of the big things with educating players is to help them understand the why they're trying to change something. Well, hell,
yep, amen
to
we
that. Got a chance at getting somebody better.
Yeah, for sure. My favorite is somebody, we'll be working on something and somebody will clip like, you know, 5-6 balls really, really well, right? And they'll go, hold on, I want to try something. I'm like, what the fuck are we trying here? This is like, I'm like, what? Like, what are we doing? Right? And it's like, but when that occurs, in a younger life, I would have said like, well, I just go, okay. And then after they do it, I make them tell me exactly what it is that they were attempting to do. People are really, this is to Matt's point, people are really good at doing what they're trying to do of all skill sets. It's just how
and,
far
and avoiding off, and avoiding pain. Yeah,
100%. How far off the rails is their intent versus what should be happening from merely an efficient perspective, right? Like so, but they're if they're like trying to do X, Y, or Z, they'll probably get pretty good or close to doing X, Y, and Z.
May not do it at the right time.
Amen to that. There you go.
This is awesome. Awesome stuff. Rick, let everybody know, one, where the name of the book officially, because I probably messed up, and they need to hear it again anyways, but and then where to go find it and all of that stuff, because this is great stuff. If you're a teacher out there, so many of our folks listen to this are teachers, and also lots of golfers of all skill levels. Let everybody know where to find it and how to get it and so forth.
For sure. So the title is The Golfer's Tools, and it was kind of inspired by like, okay, I'm a coach and I'm pulling things out of my toolbox, so to speak. And then the front cover of it kind of represents that. And I'm really happy with how that turned out. So it's The Golfer's Tools, a practical guide to golf swing signs. You can get it on Amazon. There's a link on my Instagram, up in, you know, the link tree. But you can just search it in Amazon. I have physical inventory as well.
Let everybody know your Instagram.
Yeah, sorry. Movement 3 golf. That's where that's at. Yeah.
Awesome. And we're going to post a bunch of socials on these, and we'll post some links to where people can get the book as well. Always love helping you out. And Rick, thanks for taking the time. I know you got lots of stuff going on. And Matthew, diamond status. I don't know. Diamond dew sweeper status. I don't know what that does for you in the world.
Diamond dew sweeper.
Wasn't that a wrestler's name? Diamond dew sweeper? Diamond Dallas Page?
Probably. We're going to see you on the USA Network special soon. Diamond dew sweeper.
Wow. Awesome. That's perfect.
Great
stuff. Thank you, boys.
Guys, thanks for joining in. Matt, thanks as always, buddy. Appreciate you.
I'll see both of you guys soon.
Soon.
Perfect.